Thanks for tuning in and listening to Riley on Film. I am Damian Riley, your ghost host. While you're here, I hope you got your horror's worth. Find out more and subscribe, only not in that order, at RileyOnFilm.com. Now, enjoy the show. Today I'm talking about Firestarter, the adaptation of the Stephen King novel. And as far as I know, this is the second incarnation. In other words, the only remake of the original that I remember had Drew Barrymore in it. But that's about all I remember specifically about the movie. And I didn't really like that movie as much as the book. I have not read half the books I should have read in my life, and definitely I'm always sporadically getting into it, getting out of it. Maybe it's because I sort of had to force myself to read in college to get my BA and my MA in English, which was a lot of reading. Maybe I just sort of decided that I wasn't going to read for fun anymore, which is too bad. Because in the time since I graduated, which was 98 with my MA, I have read a sparse amount of books that I've really enjoyed and gotten a lot out of, but I've also started a lot and not finished them. Can you relate? Can anyone relate? Let's start a club. The He-Man Book Starters But Not Finishers Club. Definitely not Woman Haters, though. You catch that reference? You win $25. Tell me at the end. Anyway, so back to what I was saying. So I read Firestarter in high school and really liked it. There was a scene that always stuck in my head about how at night, I don't know if it was a nightmare or they really saw it, but the mom and dad were taking LSD and this other specialized drug the government was testing for the military. And they were spending the night in the hospital. And one night, when the dad's walking around, he sees a pair of eyes just laying there next to a patient, and then he sees the patient's bloody hand hit the chart and then scratch down like a chalkboard, scratch down the chart, and then zing, 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 it flies up. I should try and find that exact description because it's still alive in my head. Since 1987, when I first read that, it's still completely alive in my head. I don't have it memorized. I probably should, because that's how powerful that little section of reading was on me, and it scared the bejesus out of me at the time. When the Drew Barrymore movie came out, I think in the 90s, she was like pretty much in her heyday in the 90s. They put her in everything, Scream included, but she didn't really, it's not that she didn't fill the role. I think she did fine for the role, but I pictured the girl as being a little bit less introspective looking and more like this new girl in the new movie. She's really good. And when she blows up and fire goes everywhere, that's the best parts of the movie. So enjoy those moments, because that's all there is literally to this new movie. Zac Efron, complete misjudge of character to put him in there, but he sells tickets. So, of course, you know, people will go to see Zac Efron, but he is a completely bland character in this. I really liked him in Baywatch, the movie. He's funny as hell in that. But as far as this and other dramatic roles that I've seen him play in, you know, apart from singing and dancing, I just don't think he's got very good chops. 13 Going on 30 is a good one that he's in. I enjoyed that one, but this one was really disappointing because I was so in love with the novel, you know. So now that, you know, there have been two movies made and I'm not really pleased with either one of them, I'd have to say I'm more pleased with the Drew Barrymore version than this new version. And it's just trying to look like Stranger Things. Everywhere you look is a marketing decision. And I know that that's the world we live in now. They've got to make money and everything, but to me, art lives outside of marketing, and then marketing does whatever it has to do, you know, to make money for the artist. But the artist himself should be completely blind to any kind of marketplace additions. And obviously, Stephen King didn't want to promote anything in his book, or he would have put it in his book. So I think they should have just made just stat, here's Firestarter. They did not show that scene that I wanted to see so bad about hitting the chart. But at the very beginning, when they're showing the credits, look for it. They show it. They show that exact scene. And I was very happy to see it, but I wished it would have been in the movie. Because once the movie starts, you've got sort of like, I don't know, the backdrop of Suicide Squad without all the fun. And just this sort of lagging feeling that you go through as you're watching it, waiting for it to do something. The ending made very little sense to me, and I'd have to go back and read the ending again in Firestarter to see if I have a legitimate gripe. But it just, to have, and I don't want to give any spoilers, but to have it go that way, I needed more explanation or background or. That's all I'm gonna say because I don't want to spoil anything. This is a no spoilers episode. But having said all that, there really isn't a whole lot more to say. Miss this one. Apparently, it's on Peacock. I went and saw it at the theaters and wasted money. Wasted free movies there. I had a couple free passes and I wasted it on this. My daughter. She didn't really like it either. But you know what? It was kind of neat to just go to the movies with my daughter, which is always fun, whether we like the movie or not. So I'm out for now, and I will see you next time. Thank you for listening to Riley on Film. I'm your host, Damian Riley. You can find out more and subscribe always for free at rileyonfilm.com. Now, have a great day.